Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence. This is the Ultimate Wrestling Podcast, and the only thing that makes it ultimate is the man himself, the man who kickstarted the British wrestling boom, the guy who is the reason why NXT UK exists, the guy who is Gredo. How you doing, mate?
Hello there, Rab. How are you? Good to see you. Just first of all, apologise. I've left my microphone up at my digs. I'm back in the house. So I do apologise if you hear me vaping throughout. I know that can be, it would piss me off if I was listening to a podcast with some kind of vaping, but I'll try and cut back on it as much as I possibly can. Also, I apologise for a wee bit crab it last week. I felt as if I was a bit in a huff. So there you go.
No, not at all.
Take it or leave it.
Listen, you can't win. The sound of vaping and all of that kind of stuff, you can't win with these listeners. I remember when Stone Cold started doing his podcast and people kept criticising him for breathing. Daring to breathe. They used to be going like, you're breathing too much. Guy, you have to breathe. Any big news, guys? Any like personal news in your life before we move on to the big wrestling news of the week or the big wrestler? Obviously, one thing I want to bring up is it's now been 8 years. 8 years since me and Gredo tagged up against Greg Hemphill and Red Lightning at Kelvin Brawl. It happened 2 nights ago as we record this. 2 nights ago, 8 years ago. That's been a fast 8 years, Gredo.
That is actually quite scary, isn't it? It really is. What a night that was. I mean, even just the build-up to it, you know, getting around in the comedy unit, me, you, Red, Greg, then we spots on STV here and there, The crowd that night, Wolfie's motorbike. John, did you never hear about this?
Hey, excuse me, I had an intrinsic part in this whole Kelvin Brawl because I was working at Clyde One at the time as George Bowie's producer, and I set up an angle on the breakfast show where we had Greg Hemphill in for an interview, and we invited Rab in to do a wee run-in into the studio.
A bust in, yep.
Yep.
So why was I not invited? So Clyde have had it against me all this year.
We knew at that time, we thought there's a wrestling guy on the inside here somewhere. There's a wrestling guy who has arranged all this. So I, Kelvin Brawl, 8 years ago, it's mad to think that only 2 years away will be the 10th anniversary of Kelvin Brawl, you know?
Do you think we'll eventually get Greg Hemphill on the podcast in 2 years' time then?
Maybe in 2 years' time. I think really something special should happen for the 10th anniversary because it was quite a historic thing. So I don't
We're not far away from our 100th show now, actually. We're not far away. We're on show 83. This is episode 83 of Wrestling Daft now. So we're only 17 away for the 100th. So that'd be a good guess for the 100th.
But I like to put it out to the listeners. Would they want to hear for the 100th episode? You know, what's the best bit? Who do you want to get back on?
Chris Jericho.
Like Jericho.
Well, that would be good, wouldn't it? 100th episode, get Jericho back on.
That would be good. Get him back on every 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Lots to catch up on. I tell you who'd be a good one to get in for the 100th episode.
Conscience
would be a good guy to get in. Conscience and Sabo sit down. Sabotage and Conscience will do a sit down Jim Ross style. Stone Cold and The Rock.
But you know, I mean, honestly, I mean, you're laughing, but could you imagine we could actually build, we could promote a show through this podcast, you know, build, you know, I would imagine there's some people listening to this podcast going, man, I wouldn't mind seeing Conscience and Sab tie up after the beef talking about it.
100%.
You know what I mean?
See once everything gets back to normal, see if Wrestling Daft announced they were doing a show, right? And we were going to have on it Bingo Balance.
Yep.
We were going to have on it Conscience versus Sabotage. Crater, obviously. We're going to try and get Gredo and Abyss to match up again to try and see if they can improve on the last bout.
What a card. What a card.
Oh, we could have a, imagine this, right? We could have a match where it's Chris Toll and five other guys, and the objective is to hurt his chest. So, like, five
Oh, that's brilliant.
Five other guys are chasing him down.
We have that a running. We do have an actual fucking virtual, you know, a legit running.
Well, we get one of the fans, one of your listeners. So during a match between two big bruisers, right? Whoever we choose is two big bruisers. One of the listeners gets to run in and get involved.
Aye, so that's great. So it's like so your running is used as one of your weapons. So like, so when the two big bruisers are fighting, a run in, and basically the fan gets 10 seconds. On their aim to set about the wrestler.
Aye, before the wrestlers can do anything to them.
Fucking deed them and all that.
Aye.
Chocolate noddies.
I mean, what a show that would be. That would be an amazing show.
10, 9, 8. Billy Gaddy and all that.
Speaking of Billy Gaddy, Billy get in touch with us, by the way, because he had a meeting with the one and only Lewis Capaldi. He met Lewis Capaldi, and well, let's play the clip.
All right, it was lovely to see Billy Gaddy on Wrestling Daft with that story about a separate farm that I can't really repeat. But it was hilarious.
So, big Lewis Capaldi, what's his Lewis Capaldi song again?
Someone like you.
What?
Something like that.
What is it, John? What's Lewis Capaldi's
That's
song?
That's Adele Grey, though.
It's
There's gonna have to be someone you love.
That's it.
Yeah. You must play that on the radio all the time, Grado.
Aye, come on, Grado. Kidding on your lonely morning radio. They're like, what is that song? What is that? Come on now. It's big Stephen McGuinness. I don't know if he's big, could be wee Stephen McGuinness, but the great Stephen McGuinness is going to touch anyway. He says he's a huge fan of the show. It's mere praise for us, Grado. That's what we're always wanting. He says, in 2018, I was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, and in 2019, my God, received a life-saving bone marrow transplant. Intense stuff. He was terrified, obviously, during lockdown that his cancer would return. Totally understandable. And one thing that kept him going during that time was this podcast, Grado.
Oh, hey, man.
Wow. Cheers him right up. Makes him laugh so much. He says, me and my partner, Amanda, were already massive fans of Grado and knew we love him even more. And we even love Rab and John as well. Right, hold on a minute now, right? And we even, now, obviously, I think you're an amazing guy for what you've been through and what you've dealt with, but you even love Rab and John Underston. Anyway, like he was that. Saying he was hoping we could possibly get a shout-out in the show and possibly a message to the listeners about the importance of donating life-saving bone marrow with the Anthony Nolan charity. Thanks so much, and keep up the good work. Keep making me and Amanda smile. Big shout-out to you, Stephen, and Amanda, and definitely, oh, my God, donating life-saving bone marrow. Get in touch with more information about that, by the way, Stephen. It would be good to hear more information about how would you donate bone marrow? I'd imagine that'd be sir.
See, but honestly, and this is just out of my own, I don't really know about bone marrow and how you donate it. So it would be interesting if he wants to come on and talk about it, because it would be good to spread awareness, because really, I don't know much about it.
No, me neither.
Get Stephen on the running. Let's see if we can get Stephen on the running.
Let's try and get Stephen on the running.
You might not be comfortable doing it, but it would be good, even if he wants to go on the running, or send us an email, what we can do, that Anthony Nolan Trust, we'll look it up and we'll get a shout-out, because obviously that's a fucking great story that we've managed to kind of keep somebody smiling throughout this shitey lockdown.
Shitey podcast. You've kept somebody smiling through this shitey podcast. Well, like you said, it'd be good, Stephen, if you want to come on, definitely give us a shout and we'll sort that out. Some people don't want to come on. We can just Google as well, you know what I mean? We can just use the power of Google, but it's great stuff. And Stephen, so glad to hear you're doing well. And Amanda, thanks for listening as well. And thanks for even loving me. Now, Willie Jakes hit us with, how about a false advertising and wrestling discussion? One of the worst cases, he says, is on the front and back of the WrestleFest 95 VHS, they advertise a cage match with Razor Ramon and Jeff Jarrett, but it's just the roadie in a shark cage. He was raging after he bought this. So, no Jeff Jarrett at all, just the roadie, who is, of course,
JEFFJARR. All right, who's the roadie? The road dog.
A false advertising. I'm trying to think of when there's been.
Oh,
I mean, a million times, right?
Oh, aye. But the biggest one for me was when I was 12. Again, repeater K, here I come. Have I told the story about going to the tribute show where The Rock never turned up?
Yes, you have, but it was
you have.
50 episodes ago. Go for it again, Grado.
Well, basically, the British Wrestling Federation, the tribute shows that used to come up to Scotland, you'd have the fake Kane, who was all 5 foot six, with a big belly. There was The X-Pac was no bad. I told you about the guy that was Mankind. We got a picture of him in the ring at halftime. He's going, get your guns out, get a picture of him. But the big main event was The Rock. This guy dressed up as The Rock, and he never turned up. And I thought, they must have went into that show going, oh, fuck it, The Rock's not on it. Like, just need to deal with it. But Irvin fucking, the Magnum went bananas at the end of the show. There's easily...
They went bananas that even the fake Rock wasn't there.
Even the fake Rock was not there. I remember, you know, all the Moz and Daz and the promoter absolutely biffing out, apologising. And he took, I do not exaggerate this, but there was about 150 folk that gave their names and addresses. I remember getting a cheque for £7 through the door about 4 weeks later. Fair dues, you know, they gave us the money back, but it ended up in the Daily Record and everything. You know, the fake Rock, no shows.
You actually got your money back?
I got my money back.
Like the first time that's ever happened at a wrestling show.
I know.
I can remember the UK Fan Forum. Big shout out to UK Fan Forum, who never mentioned Wrestling Daft. UK Fan Forum that I read many times over the years. So the Grado, I'm sure, big reader of UK Fan Forum.
Oh, Scott, but we did get Ian Andrew Dice Clay's always putting us over on it. But there's
they should be talking about us more, because we are the wrestling podcast that used to be regularly on the UK Fan Forum. But anyway, they were always talking about shows where things never turned up, rings never turned up, people never get their money back, constant moaning about all these shit ass wee federations day. I loved that. I loved all that part. That was the good old days. See, when you talk about the good old days in British wrestling, that was the good old days. That period where people were like buying tickets to go to shows and there wasn't even a fucking ring. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, unbelievable. GWF, obviously I'm not going to get into it again, but running a bus down to Blackburn to see Trent Acid, Jake the Snake Roberts, Johnny and Jody. And the fucking ring never turned up. Nanny's got her money back. But that guy is now a multi-millionaire, John Farrar. He's a big Vegas poker player in America.
Unbelievable. Just shows you, doesn't it? Just shows you. He'd be a cracking guy to get own money.
Wow, let's do it.
Let's try and hunt him down and see if he'll come on.
Ian Andrew Dice Clay will get a hold of him.
Right, Ian Andrew Dice Clay, I think, should be your official researcher on Wrestling Daft. Let's promote him to our official researcher and reach around guy. So let's get that set up. Rico was just watching the Finland versus Russia game and was trying to think of why he knew Finland's national anthem and where Faye, and then he remembered it was Ludvig Borga who crushed Marty Jannetty at SummerSlam 93 and ended Tatanka's winning streak. So there's how Euro 2020 and wrestling are tied together for me. Did you watch the Scotland game, boys?
Yes, I was at it. That's why there was no Marks podcast this week. Apologies to everyone, that, you know, all five people listening to the Marks podcast, but that's why there was no Marks podcast this week. Sorry.
Do you know Mick Foley was talking on Steve Austin's Broken Skull thing, and he was talking about the commentary to Hell in a Cell, and he started talking about how that commentary to Hell in a Cell was used in videos all over the world, and he said it was used at the World Cup, the Football World Cup. When the fuck would that have been used in the Football World Cup? Mick Foley getting chucked off his cell.
Maybe in some promo video, you know what I mean? JR shouting or something.
That's Eddie killed him. That's Eddie's dead. That kind of shit.
Yeah, something like that. Probably.
Or is he exaggerating?
I don't know if he is exaggerating, because I remember there was a time when like stuff for American wrestling and stuff like that would be used at the start of kind of packages and football hangs and stuff, you know what I mean? It was like a...
When? I'm writing that up.
I'm not making that up.
When? I've never saw that.
Oh, to be fair, like we've discovered on this podcast that wrestling has a big crossover at football. Last week we had Joe McKee announced for Dumbarton News Jericho. We had Chris Kane signed for St Johnston with the Kane gif.
That's millennials that did that.
Arsenal plane coming out to all the Stone Cold music. There's a lot of love for wrestling and football these days.
Sorry, guys, I'm just looking at this. There's actually, we've been sent the picture of this WrestleFest 95 video event tape, and indeed, right on the cover, there's Razor Ramon and Jeff Jarrett in a cage, and it says on the back, Razor Ramon, Jeff Jarrett in a cage, and it's not even on it. That's incredible.
That's brilliant.
That's incredible so stuff. Karate Warrior reminds us of this tweet from Hulk Hogan, where... Did this actually happen?
It happened.
Is that Andre the Giant's casket?
Aye, we've got a picture of Andre the Giant's casket here, but I don't know. Is this real?
Yeah, well, I'm taking...
Why is his casket storing up in a field?
And who's the cowboy?
I don't know. I'm taking Sean at his word, though, but Sean sent us through the picture. We were just talking about Andre the Giant being cremated a couple of weeks ago, and he sent us through the picture of the Andre's coffin. I don't know if it's genuine, but it looks like Andre size. And I'll put, if you're watching the video version, I'll put the picture up.
But do you know what? Do you know what I think? If he was standing up in that coffin, he would need to be strapped down. Because I'm just imagining what his body's like in that coffin standing up. Surely he would pure lean forward and it would fall down, no?
You would think.
I'm just trying to look to see if there's any kind of sources for the picture. Just to explain to everybody listening, it's a guy dressed as a cowboy and he's standing beside a giant coffin that's stoning up, and supposedly Andre the Giant is in it.
But do you know what? By the way, no, do you know what? So there is if you type into Google Andre the Giant casket, that is the first result, right? And you're thinking, but that still might not be accurate. But the second picture is a picture for the funeral where they've got a picture of Andre on a wee quad bike, right? And that's like his funeral picture. And the flowers that are on top of the casket are the same flowers. The casket standing up, so I'm, wow. I think it's real.
Oh, good research.
Detective Grado, fantastic.
There you fucking go, man. How the fuck did they get that to stand up?
Let's see. Well, that's amazing. So we want you to Google for this. Google for Andre the Giant casket when you can and have a look at this big old casket, because...
That's the same flowers, so it's got to be, but it's just blown my mind. Like,
why, is it the same casket? Where are the horns?
Why did they stand up?
I'm just looking. Looking
I
at
don't
these
know
holes.
Why I just stood up the casket.
Like, who asks for that?
I don't know.
Stand it up.
Stand it up.
Stand up.
I must have taken a few boys to stand it up. Like,
One, two, three.
It is the same floors. Is there a possibility there was an open casket and that was the lid? You know what I mean?
Maybe
they were just storing up.
Oh, no, but there's nails. Look at the lid.
They're decorative nails, I would think. Welcome to Wrestling Daft, everybody, where we discuss coffins for 10 minutes and discuss photos that you can't see. This is the kind of content you get here. Can we get a name for this guy, for this cowboy?
Is it Noddy Holder?
Noddy Holder from Slade.
Fucking Noddy Holder. Right, hold on. Apparently his name is Frenchie Bernard.
Frenchie Bernard.
Right, so let's check this.
Was that not the type of dog he had? Well, there he is. Frenchie Bernard. He comes up.
He was a wrestling referee.
He was a referee.
Good friends with Andre the Giant. The two lived in adjacent properties. There he is. I've got a fucking picture of him.
No, mate.
Amazing.
It's the fucking same guy. It's real. Right. It's real.
Wow.
Take that to the bank. Right. So what you've just experienced there is what you would get in the other wrestling podcast. We get sent a photo. We get sent a bit of information. We check the veracity of that information live.
Wow!
Podcast.
Look at Andre. I've just found a picture of Andre the Giant, a pair of Asics trainers, which has blown my mind.
What's that blowing your mind?
It's fucking weird, man. He's wearing a tank top and a pair of blue shorts. You seen that one?
But the thing is, you always think of Andre the Giant as having died like 100 years ago now, didn't you? But actually, it was quite late. It was like 1990 something.
Aye.
I mean, there's one of them here on a wee quad bike ATV, like fucking like a wee mad scooter hang here.
He actually facially resembles my mate Hammy.
We need to get Hammy on the show. What we should do is we should get Hammy on the show, and we should get a few other people, and we should do a hang about like who's mace like Andre the Giant.
Right, that's one. If anybody's got a mate that looks like a wrestler, you know, facially, get them on the show.
Well, let's start off by saying this. Get in touch if you have a pal who looks like Andre the Giant. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be height, it could be weight, it could be their face, right? Yeah. Could even be their accent. You know what I mean?
You talk like Andre the Giant.
Get in touch. It's unlikely a guy from Ridley is going to talk like that, but get in touch and let us know. Right, I need to get back on script. My God, we're away half in a serious...
Look at the size of that ham hock.
Now, Hulk Hogan, this tweet the great karate warrior reminded us of. Hulk Hogan apparently tweeted out, "Damn Bam," as in Bam Margera, for Jackass. "I wish you were still with us. I sure would love to hang out again, my brother. I love you, miss you." Another wee 40 him. Way Bam. And then Bam replied, "I'm alive, brother, but miss you too."
That is the best. Hogan is brilliant for that shit. I mean, I know I've spoken about it before, but the amount of times that folk like Hulk Hogan get bammed up, you know, here's my uncle, he's a big wrestling fan, and it's, would you call him, him that had his daughter down the basement for about 8 years? Would you call him again?
I can't mind his name, but I know the one. Fritzl. Well, let me put this to you, right, about Hulk Hogan, because Bam looks really... Is it Bam Margera or Margera? I've always said Margera, but it might be Margera, actually. Margera.
Jack Jester told me about Bam Margera outside the cat house, and I'm no joking.
Who did? Jester did?
Apparently he's been cheeky to folk.
I need to get this story. Hulk Hogan... I know that Hulk Hogan is kind of problematic nowadays and all that, right? But I just kind of feel that I don't care who you are. If you meet Hulk Hogan in the flesh, you're going to mark out, right?
Yeah.
You're going to mark out fucking the sight of Hulk Hogan, because that's like seeing Mickey Mouse or something, isn't it? It's like a massive iconic figure for your childhood. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week we like to separate the bad for the good of wrestling, the pickled eggs for the pickled onions. John wrote this. I love pickled eggs. And I would take a I would take a pickled egg ahead of a pickled onion any day of the week.
Really? I've never in my life been in a chip shop where someone has went for a pickled egg behind the counter. Grado, have you had a pickled egg from the chip shop?
I like pickled eggs.
Oh, really? All right, okay.
I love a pickled egg. So what are we putting over and what are we burying? Okay, let's, first of all, we're obviously going to put our pipe on the oven being on Raw. We're going to put that over, and I'm sure Grado agrees with me, but I think we did that last week.
I'm just looking ahead. Is that the name then? Dewdrop?
Dewdrop, I think it's just spelt like that.
Dewdrop.
What's your take?
Oh, I mean, it's not the best names, but it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, it's like I've said before, you get these names. I remember when Finn Balor came out, it's like you thought it was shite. And you get used to these things, the name isn't really... I actually think it reminds me of Brian Laudrup.
Yeah, I don't like it. I've decided I don't like it. They should have called up, instead of a name that sounds like Brian Laudrup, they should have called up Jackie McQuillan instead. It's one for a very narrow audience out there. No. Okay, I'm going to bury something this week, right? First of all, I'm going to bury Adam Cole's too wee. And I know I say this all the time, but he's too small, and it really is. What you don't want to do, I was curious about this, and I went on, and I know this is a kind of terrible thing, but I went on Twitter, and it was like WWE were tweeting out like, oh, Adam Cole, blah, 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 and pictures of him and stuff, and there's people in the replies saying things like, that's a future cruiserweight champion right there. And they were saying things like, Adam Cole has never seen a gym. And they were saying, and I don't, listen, you don't want one of your main guys getting the comments. What do you think?
I can't move it, to be honest with you, but I mean, I get it, mate. I get it, but is he still in NXT? Is he on Raw?
The guy looks to me, this is the weird thing about Adam Cole, is he looks to me as if he's just a guy off the street. No, because he didn't always look like this. He was always a smaller guy, but he didn't always look like he's not putting the work in to look like an athlete, you know what I mean?
Maybe he's got a fucking throat infection or something. You don't know. He's maybe no wheel.
Anyway, I'm not one to labour that. I think it's fine. I think it's great how he looks, and I think we should all be just happy with our bodies. I'm just talking shite. I'm just trying to be a guy on a wrestling podcast. This is just my gimmick, you know what I mean? What I will say, though, what I do want to bury is the diamond mine. John?
I've not seen NXT this week, but they've obviously been teasing it. Now, I'm right in saying this, the new faction that's come in, and they went over Kushida.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with them, Rab? Why do you not like them?
It's some guys in trackies and sportswear. It's some guys stoning, straight-backed, all together, couple of them with a horns behind their back, in black plain trackies. Kind of sportswear, that kind of look.
I'm watching it with the ankle socks and the gutties.
Aye. They can fuck off. See these factions and these wrestlers, that's what they're going for. Why don't they just fucking go into MMA or something if that's what they're wanting to sell?
Listen, mate, I've got a big issue with that whole... I mean, everything's evolving, man. You can't, that's just the way it is now, mate. That's the style. You know, that's the way I dress. See what they're wearing? That's the way I dress in the street. But what I'm saying is, he's got nice trainers. He's got Rangers Adidas trainers. Kushida, is it Kushida? Is that Kushida? Is that it? No, who's that guy?
Yeah, Kushida got battered off them, eh?
No, that's not him then. There's another guy. What I'm saying is, I mean, for me, I don't like it because I like wrestling to be big, full of characters. I feel as if it's gone down the route of this Fitba. It's like Fitba. The interviews are like post-match Fitba player interviews. There's I don't know. Try to be MMA, try to be fit, but I'm not a big fan of it. But I totally understand it. It's just the way it is. Isn't it?
It's unbelievably boring.
In saying that, they've got Roderick Strong's in it, which I saw, and the boy that Malcolm Bivens. I don't know what his independent name is, but he's a really good promo. So it might be interesting.
Why present them like that in a completely forgettable? This is going to be coming for them. Is it going to be coming for them, or is it going to be? I don't know. Let's go to the other end of the coin. No, the other end of the coin, the other end of the telescope, the other side of the pillow is Nikki Storm,
right?
And WWE, who has a new gimmick as well. What do you make of that, Gredo?
You know, I just saw it right there. Is it a superhero gimmick?
Looks like it.
A superhero gimmick. Well, anything to get her on TV. You know what I mean? Superhero. Is she a babyface?
Yep.
Well, it looks a bit like Odari the Great.
Are you saying she's not your gimmick?
Nah, she's not my gimmick.
It looks like she's wanting to do this kind of power, kind of positivity, superhero kind of thing.
Do you know what? I'm loving this. I'm looking at it just now. I like this.
Which, if anybody, but this is the weird thing is, right, you've got a lot of punters have been going like that, we hate this, right? This has really been the reaction, right, has been we hate this. And a lot of them,
I like this. It reminds me of Molly Holly. By the way, please don't say that I stole her. She stole me. I'm not.
No, we know you're joking.
I'm going to laugh.
And they were saying, let her go back to her old gimmick where she was like a psychopath. And you know, when she was insanity and when that first started. But here's the thing here. Anybody that has actually ever met Nikki Storm in real life, right, will tell you.
She's like that.
WWE letting her be.
Yeah.
What she wants to be. So this isn't the WWE punishing Nikki Storm.
No, this is right up her street, innit? Aye. This is the way she carries on. She's a bundle of fun.
So this is the WWE rewarding her and letting her go, right, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? Tell us what you want to be here, and this is what she's chosen. So I think people should get a chance. I think she'll be good at this. Right, so let's see what the punters are saying. Dean, Piper Niven. The name Dewdrop's shite. That's clearly not going to be her name going forward. She's getting TV time with top talent and is being made to look mega strong. Also, the Lionheart armband is a touching tribute to her man, Adrian.
That's 2 years.
It is.
Which is crazy. The bench, there's obviously been a bench put up, which I need to get done and kind of pay my respects to. And I don't know if you noticed as well, but I don't know if you'll mind me saying it, but Noam, did you see this?
No.
Noam got him a big, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, he has, actually Noam voice noted me earlier on, but he's got this big, massive lion statue for next to the grave.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
It's amazing, man. It's really, 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 really cool. Really, really cool. But I just, the other day when it was his anniversary, his death, I remember finding out about it. I was at Football Daft, remember?
John? Yeah, I remember it.
It was horrible, absolutely horrible. And it just meant to think the stuff that he's missed. Like, just weird things that you think, like, he's missed a pandemic. I know that sounds daft. You know that weird, but it's the kind of things that you think about. But it's just absolutely horrific, man. Because how long did we know Adrian for? I mean, he was at Kelvin Brawl. Him and Noam had the best match ever at Orin Moore. I wish there was a good copy of that out there because you need to see this match. It was superb. But Adrian was just a guy that was wrestling daft. He was
See, when you talk about
himself, but it was hilarious.
See, when you talk about missing the pandemic as well, like it would have been, I think it would have been a riot watching how Lionheart kept his cell, people talking about him during the pandemic because he wasn't out there wrestling. The videos, the promos he'd have been cutting and all, he'd have been strutting about filming a promo on his phone every fucking, do you know what I mean? Every fucking few days. You know what I mean? He would have found a way to, and he would have spent a lot of that pandemic time catching up on watching all these fucking comedy shows that he was always watching all the time. He was comedy daft.
He was daft on fucking Your Programme, Still Game. I mean,
2 year, man.
What?
2 year.
That's mad. Really, really sad.
Sandy wants to put all the Scottish contingent on Raw. Drew, Piper, Nicky, doing his proud. Nicky Cross, of course. I called him Nicky Storm earlier, didn't I? Looking forward to seeing where Drew goes next. Hopefully a new name. But what?
A new name for Drew?
Oh, no. Looking forward to seeing where Piper, I think he's meaning, goes next. Hopefully a new name, but same Viper. And then Nikki's new gimmick is different, but she's great, so she'll smash it. Also, 4 Hell in a Cell matches over the weekend, mental. Sandy's having a great time steaming. Thomas wants to put her Matthew for last week, who was on the podcast. That's a great listen if you know, heard that episode, by the way. Incredible honesty from him that I'm sure will inspire others to speak out. Also put all the in-ring work at Hell in a Cell and burying creative, because he's a wrestling fan. You've got to bury the creative. Steve says the only thing to put all this week is Austin Theory in a crop top. Well said. John wants to put all Nikki Cross's new gimmick on Raw and Matthew for the run-in last week. I credit him for being open. Hope it can lead to other people speaking about their struggles. John wants to bury the cage match that was on AEW, the one with Wardlow in it, and Big Jack Swagger. Big Jack Swagger to me, boy. Stephen wants to bury last week's Dynamite. The Elite has been booked too strong right now, and Jungle Boy was made to look really stupid in his segment. There's been a nosedive in quality for the past couple of weeks. I hope it's just temporary while they get back to Wednesdays. We'll ask Chris Jericho all about that on episode 100 of Wrestling Daft.
I love that. Yeah, it's, again, nae hampering you, but I love all that part. You look really stupid.
I know.
Sitting there, he looks really stupid here.
Stephen wants to put our last week's run-in guest, Matthew. Really brave to come on and speak about mental health issues. I hope he does well and gets back to training. Well done, that lad. Listen, Matthew's got a lot of fans waiting for him once he gets back in that ring, let me tell you. Bobby wants to put our Mick Foley and Broken Skull sessions. Austin and Foley have a great rapport. I found myself laughing throughout. It's brilliant hearing the guys talking. I want you to watch that. I've not watched it yet, but I could listen to they two guys, they two fellas, chew the fat all night long. Paul wants to put... Paul wants to put our fans being back at WWE in a few weeks. He's done with the Thunderdome. He's like, I'm fucking done with it. And he wants to bury... Remember when WWE used to do matches as a big fucking thing? He says, we've had 4 Hell in a Cell matches in 4 days. Total overkill. So Paul hates the thing that bloody Sandy loved. That's what shows you can't win. Dean and Sandy are having a fight. Kev wants to put our Matthew for last week's running. A nice, open and honest guy.
Wow, well, Matthew. Well done, son.
And he wants to put over substance the writers of Raw are smoking these days. I think they must be smoking the weed or something, smoking Paul over there. Billy wants to bury Piper and Eva Marie storyline. Weird. There's signs of turning already. And he wants to put over Scotland Guy and I go. Scotland were fucking rotten. Look, let's be... I don't know what you say in football, Daft, about this, right? But I'll come at this from another angle. See, after all the fucking hullabaloo, Scotland were fucking rotten. They were rotten!
They weren't very good.
They were fucking rotten. Everybody's been like that. Oh, the young boys. They were fucking rotten as per usual.
Rab, mate, I'm in the same camp as you, see, on this. They did us proud. They did us proud. The fans were great. I'm a fucker, of course, man, but we played a big fucking tournament at our home park and we fucking get beat twice.
Fucking pumped at him twice.
5. Fuck me, man.
Fucking right.
But it's promising.
Run. But you know, young guys, man, you can give them a chance. They'll come back stronger next time. honestly, see, listening to football commentators, right? See, you know, I come for the basketball and they're giving you information and stats and all that, right? And they're giving you on, they're keeping you laughing and giving you all these information, like, you know, like, oh, the last time this happened was in 1984, and the last time this happened, you're getting constant information. And then you listen to the football commentators, man, they're just like, oh, was that right? Good dig for a boy there. Is that good dig for it, boy?
What is it, Ali McCoys? Ali McCoys says the same shit all the time, and I love Ali McCoys. You know, make no mistake about it, Clive. Make no mistake. Absolutely. It's the same shit all the time. He is the best at what he does, but over is Ali then, by the way?
Oh, he's over. But I'll tell you something, right? I feel sorry for the commentators because they go on there and you can tell they've got nothing. They've not got a good producer like John. Mm-hmm. Don's always giving you loads of content, right? He's got he's giving you loads of stuff to talk about. You can tell these commentators going and they've got none, just watching a screen. They're no like somebody giving them stats all the time. They're no able to go, well, the last time this Croatian boy scored, you know, he scored a hat trick 3 years ago in a game against blah blah blah. I think football fans would be interested in all that stuff, stats and all that. You know what I mean?
Some
football
are
fans are interested in that.
Some are better than ours at doing that.
But you know what I mean? Like, if you watch a game of basketball, John, and you're constantly getting, they're showing you, like, fucking stats and lists and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, we've talked about it in Basketball Daft before, so.
We do. We cover this in Basketball Daft. Neil wants to put over my wife. No, my wife. His wife. For that, you know, better not be fucking putting on my wife, mate. I'll tell you that. Wants to put over his wife for the signed Sergeant Slaughter picture that she just gave me for my birthday.
Superb. Then I get a name. Neil's wife. I love shit like that. That's brilliant.
And Neil wants to bury the sparrow that the cat gave me, thinking he was joining in the celebrations. That's a real expression I love, though, if your cat gives you a deed of bird.
Mate, honest to God, put over and all that, right? I don't know, what are we searching? Fuck me, you need to see the China documentary.
Is it new?
Oh, yeah, it was just in, what was it, last Thursday? It's not. It's separate from Dark Side of the Ring. It's Vice's own take on it, because there was a documentary team following China 6 months before she died.
Wow.
And it was that whole thing of, you know, she had been in Japan for 4 years working as a teacher, the most normal life had ever been, and her manager back in America basically pleaded for her to come back. We'll get you back on the circuit, we'll put you there, we'll get you in the Hall of Fame. And this wee manager, Rab, is the fucking carniest wee motherfucker you'll ever see in your life. It's fucking distressing. And the documentary team that are following China and the manager, one of them ends up falling in love with China, one of them ends up doing drugs with China. The story will blow your effing mind. I can't believe how sorry I feel for that woman. That woman was absolutely troubled, man. Absolutely troubled.
You think if she had never came back, if she'd stayed in Japan, she'd be all right?
100%, mate. I really
think it was coming back to that scene and all that.
Yeah, because I think there was a scene where Foley met China at her first like comeback Comic Con, and Foley was saying in a talking head thing, going, she shouldn't have been there. She was fucked up. And instead,
it was Foley on it.
What? Foley was on it. Doc. Mate, Triple H was on it for like it was weird, man. But, you know, instead of, you know, she looked like she was having substance issues or whatever you want to call it. And instead of, right, we better wrap this documentary and get her sorted. It was like, well, we'll phone celebrity rehab. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And that's what they totally fucking...
Exploiting her.
Oh, exploited the lassie. Really, really difficult to watch. And I don't want to kind of... Well, I'll tell you what happened.
No, don't tell me what happened.
No, but listen.
But does it work out all right for her in the end?
No, because what happens is... Just as I take a swig of my Iron Brew, it's now time to welcome to the show one half of the former ICW Tag Team Champions with me, Iron Drew. So, takes you back. Won the titles in 2013. It's Boom Boom Colt Cabana. Hello there.
Hello.
Well, hello.
Did you get your mic working, buddy?
Nah, I don't have it working. I fucking, because I'm living in a flat in Glasgow, and I took my cable to record my podcast, and I forgot this is a dodgy cable. So I don't. How does this sound?
I mean, is it going to sad? Is it going to be sad when the guest has so much better audio than the fucking host?
Well, listen. Everybody calls Conrad Thompson the Podfather, but for me, and I'm not just kissing your ass, you're the fucking Podfather.
Well, you're. What are you, a fucking runt? Jesus.
What do you mean?
Talking into a fucking Zoom?
Yeah, I know. This is pretty cheap, isn't it? This is quite embarrassing, man. I've been wanting Colt on this podcast for 2 years, and then I bring him on, and I've even got a fucking mic.
Unreal. And then hey,
I'm Jen. Hi, Colt. How are you?
Oh, your audio sounds crisp.
Oh, it's nice, isn't it? It's sounding sweet.
Bless you.
This is embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, Gradle. You've let Wrestling Daft down.
Have we started?
If you want, aye.
I don't know.
Well, you did that in your podcast. You always go like that. You always, yeah, we're recording. Show. We're recording. We're going. We're moving. We're going along. That's what you know.
Grado, I love that you're such a fan of me. You have my 2-time championship belt back there.
I see. You, who did you beat again? You defeated Adam Pearce, and who was the other one?
Only Adam Pearce is the only one that would let me beat him.
That's right. I remember that. They were great matches. Yeah. They were great matches. Tell me.
The Sheik wouldn't.
What's happening? Do you miss me?
I miss you so much, Grado.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, mate.
I just get sad when you won't fly me over to let me be on your BBC shows.
Well, you know, I did try. I tried to get you in Scott Squad. I tried to get Sanjay Dutt in Scott Squad, and it's never, ever.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still on the one in the house? Flat boys? Flat men?
Two doors down.
There it is.
Two doors down. We're filming that right now.
Does that still go?
Uh-huh. What about you? Have you been on any episodes of Chicago PD?
No, but I'm still collecting checks.
Are you really? Roylies?
They're coming in.
You are kidding me, man.
It's still in the hundreds of dollars. That episode was on 6 years ago, and I had 8 lines.
Wow. That's incredible. I get about £68 a year for two of those down at Scott Squad a year.
I think the BBC and NBC work a little different, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking there?
What do you think?
I love it.
There we go. I just before you come on, I introduced you. I was like, please welcome one half of the greatest ICW tag team champions, Iron Drew.
John, do you see something different about that bottle that would make me question?
But sugar free.
Sugar? He said you're gonna diet.
Yeah, he's on a diet just now, Colt.
Who is this man?
Yeah, well,
strange man.
It's kind of go to a hand, Colt. I'm the fattest I've ever been, mate. Is that right? It's quite dark.
I see pictures and you look great because people post pictures of you and I all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I seen pictures recently, like I think you in suits, and you look so svelte.
Right, but the thing is, with suits, you can get away with shit like that, you know.
Who's your suit guy?
It's a guy in Glasgow by the name of Forbes.
Forbes. That's not actually his name. That's the name of the shop, Grado.
Well, I think that's his surname. Is it no Forbes?
It might be. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if it is.
Are you still dressing like a Jake Ball coat? Are you still dressing like a Jake Ball?
Like Jake Bolt.
like a Jakey.
Jake the Snake Roberts?
No. Nah, a Jakey.
Because I'll tell you what, I see him every week backstage and I dress a little. We know I dress like a Jakey, but I dress a little better than Jake Roberts, so that says
really?
Something.
What does Jake wear then, Colt?
He's still, then? I mean, Grado's seen Beyond the Mat a million times. He's got those sweatpants and ripped shirts.
Right, he's still wearing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Well, actually, on TV, he has a lot of dad outfits. I don't know if you've noticed that.
There's that tracksuit that he wears, the kind of snake tracksuit. Which is very similar to the tracksuits I wore in Test Drive, and I'm almost sure that he gets it for the same place, the snakeskin one. I mean, it's horrific, but it's Jake the Snake. What you got?
It is horrific, but yeah, you nailed it. But it is Jake the Snake, so he could do what he wants. I think Sandra backstage makes that for him.
Really? Tell me, is Sandra there? Is Sandra the woman for Total Divas?
Yep.
Sandra's in AEW.
We got her, baby.
But listen, but you don't use Sandra. You don't need Sandra, do you?
No. Do you see? Look in the background there. Wait. There we go. Oh, Brody's covering up. That's my sewing machine over there.
That's right, mate. Honestly. Do you know that he makes his own gear? John didn't
really?
Have
a I had no idea. You made
I
your
told own... you that.
Wow.
What do you need? John, you want something? You want a onesie?
Oh, yeah, please. How did you get into doing that then, Colt? Did you just think, save a bit of cash here? Learn to do it myself?
Grado can answer that.
You nailed it in the first sentence, saving a bit of cash.
You're not one of these wrestlers that's really tight, Colt, are you?
Oh!
You hear stories about, you know, these wrestlers that are tight, you know, stealing lists from town to town, sleeping in fans' houses. That's not you, Colt, is it?
That is, I mean, maybe really? No fans' houses, maybe no, but in terms of being a tight fist at get, that's Colt Cabana.
Really?
All the back. Oh, aye, it's brilliant. It's horrific. It really is quite bad, man.
Wait, It's brilliant. It's horrific. Those are two different adjectives.
You know what I mean? It's like it's actually quite brilliant, embarrassing. It's quite embarrassing.
Right. Okay.
Right. So you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of a certain time where I'm thinking where he's been really, really cheap.
Well, what's been your best moment in terms of like saving money? Has there been one moment that's really like there's been a massive meal? It's like been hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the guys sort of say that I'll take care of it. What's been your biggest one there?
Well, I mean, that's always great when you go to Japan and the sponsors are picking it up. But also, it's not about being. It's not about like grifting somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't see, because I value money so much. So if somebody is going like, I'll get you anything you want, I'm not the guy who's going to order the most expensive thing on the plate, because I feel bad for that person then having to spend that money.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, you know, in my younger years, I think I've changed since then, but you know, wrestling for John Thorne and AIW, we once wrestled at this abandoned elementary school and I needed toilet paper. And this was I wasn't flying, I was driving. So I may or may not allegedly have taken like 150 rolls of like
during the pandemic. That would have been really, I don't know what it was like in America, but you know, there's a massive toilet roll shortage over here. I mean, that could have been currency if you know.
I mean, this was 15 years ago, maybe.
Right.
And at this point, I have now turned into a bidet man.
Oh, mate.
No way.
His bidet is the fucking best. I was actually talking about this last week. I was like, I've got a friend. I don't know. I think we were talking about it on the radio, on the breakfast show. And I was like, man, I didn't know bidets like that existed. Like, you sit on Coke Cabana's pan and you press a button and it shoots right up your farter, right? But not only that, you can guess, you can pick which type of spray, you know, you can decide if it goes or if you want it to go or if you want it to be hot, if you want it to be cold, right up your hoop. And for somebody that's got IBS, wow.
And also, I have a dryer, which means that I don't buy toilet paper anymore.
Inbuilt into the bidet, there is a dryer inbuilt. Jesus, man.
And got it for free through a sponsorship from Brundell.com. There you go.
Shout out to Brundell.com. If you are listening, we would all like a bidet, please. Grado, I don't know about you over here in Scotland. Whereabouts do you go about buying a bidet? Obviously, Brundell.com.
Yeah.
We'll just keep mentioning them. We'll hopefully get a bidet, But I wouldn't know the first place in Scotland to get a bidet. I don't know.
No, I know that I know in Spain, you know, you get the wee bidets that are like separate, but that always just usually gets, you know.
This is a Japanese style bidet.
Right.
So these are toilet seat covers. You take the toilet seat that you have, you take it off and you replace it with this one.
Can I ask you this? Know that I really want to get you any heat with the, you know.
I don't know if Tony Khan uses a bidet or not. I'm sorry.
What I want to know is, do you still have plastic cutlery instead of using metal knife and forks? Do you still do that?
So I did acquire some more metal knife, but just the other day I went to Chipotle and I was like, I mean, they're asking me to take a handful of plastic knives and plastic forks.
So that's to save him for Danny's dishes, John.
That, do you know, this is, we're going to learn a lot from Colt here. What's catering back in AEW? I mean, Grado loves to talk about food. What is the catering like in AEW?
Catering's pretty good, but you know, we've been in Jacksonville the whole time, so we have these like set caterers. So it's like the same kind of food and the same people. So like I did three shows before the pandemic started with AEW and they had different people from different towns, and Grado, you would have loved it. There was,
oh my God,
at one of the shows, I think Chicago, there was like a chocolate fondue fountain.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it was wild.
We are always saying on this podcast now, you know, when guys come on, Robert Flaunce, who sometimes is on the podcast, he tries to get me jobs with ex-WWE guys or AEW guys. But the reason why I think AEW should take the chance on me,
right,
is wouldn't I be the best dancer / singer to Chris Jericho's song Ringside? I would totally nail that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not. Chris Harrington is, I think, the numbers analytics guy. But I don't know if that pans out, paying you and buying your visa just to dance. When, you know, when I think those guys get paid a chicken sandwich, I don't know what they get paid.
Have you ever been asked to dance a Jericho song?
Okay, so here's the story, which made me... I don't know any words to any song, okay? It's not... This is no offense to Chris Jericho. I know the hook, and that's about it. And for Chris Jericho's, like, 30th anniversary of his wrestling anniversary, they asked everybody to sit down and sing Chris Jericho's song, and then they would splice it up. And they were like, will you sing his song? I was like, yeah, I don't know the words, but I'll sing it. They're like, yeah, whatever. And then I improvised, like, the greatest... How does the song go? So I can.
I become man.
Yeah, but that's the hook.
Okay. You are beautiful on the inside. You are T-shirts as personified. Okay,
so, yeah, and then I was like, and I'm Chris Jericho, and I'm singing songs. Fozzie is on tour, and I do in movies. I'm on the improv, and you could see me. I'm on TV shows. I do all the press. You want me to have a podcast? I'll have it, and I'll do something less. I'll do what you need. I'll be on your show. If there's Dr. Luther, he can come with me, because you know we are best friends. We are best friends. Judas. And so I went on for like 10 minutes. And the only thing they did was me going, Judas-in.
So you don't know the words to any song called. You must have a karaoke song, though.
No, I'm pretty... I do, you really? Know, I do Twitch.tv. I know I'm not here to plug my Twitch or my new podcast, Wrestling Anonymous. I'm not here trying to plug Wrestling Anonymous or my Twitch. But I have a real fun Twitch chat where sometimes they'll give me a song and then I'll have to, like, think about in my, like, what I think the words were. So I only know the hook. I know zero. When I listen to songs, I only listen
to the chorus.
I only listen for, like, to bop my head around. I don't take in the words.
You touched
nobody
on this new project. Now, you sent me, you just tweeted it out, Wrestling Anonymous. Well, before we hit Wrestling Anonymous, why did fucking the art of wrestling die?
Well, the wrestling, art of wrestling didn't die, and the feed is there, still there, and I'm putting up all new, the whole old back catalog is back up. So if you ever want to listen to any wrestling, art of wrestlings, you can, starting July 1st, every episode will be there, including, because as I was going through them all, I mean, there's a Grado sit down, but then there's so much. There's a Grado Wrestling Road Diaries 3 preview. And then you do so many of the live Edinburgh shows, obviously. Mm-hmm. So Grado's all over it. So funny. I listened to a bunch of them back. But, you know, it was weekly sit down with wrestlers. And I think I just did every wrestler. And then also, you know, talking to wrestlers talking to wrestlers, or people in the business talking to people in the business. I essentially was the first doing it on a weekly basis. And then, you know, now it's kind of, it's not that special. So I kind of wanted to come up with an idea that no one in wrestling was really doing again. It took me a while to think of. And that's what Wrestling Anonymous is it's these phone calls from anybody who has any kind of story. And the only common thread is wrestling. And they call in, and there's a number, and 87 Cabana 34. And if you're in the UK, you can email 87cabana34@gmail.com. And, you know, like, it's like Grado has a million funny stories. Just the idea of dancing with Jim Cornette or whatever he was doing, or calling Jim Cornette. You know, these are stories that people call in and they do anonymously. And it can be, there's so many fun stories, but there's also real stories too. Like, just this week, you know, someone called in and talked about their experience about watching Owen Hart die live in front of them.
Wow.
You know, so, like, I'm trying to hit all aspects. It's not just comedy. It's kind of wild and bizarre and fun and real. And so, yeah, Grado, to answer your question, I just wanted to do something that hasn't been done in the wrestling landscape once again.
Cool. I think I might start a podcast just like that.
that will happen.
Do you remember the time that that I kept stealing one of your moves? And you told me, please stop doing this move. You're copying me. And I was like, trust me, I've stopped. And then what was it? You opened up the Fighting Spirit magazine and I was stuck. There was a picture of me doing it.
In the mag, it was just like, I felt like Columbo. I don't know if you know that reference, but it was like the greatest detective work of all time.
Amazing. Amazing. Cool. I mean, you know Grado really well. I've known Grado for a good few years now, and he has a way of kind of almost he twists the truth sometimes. For example, he's obviously said, I've stopped doing your move now, and then there's you open up the magazine, there he's doing it. But he does things, and I don't know if you've ever had this quote for saying, oh, I'm going to be late for the podcast this week because I'm stuck in like a traffic accident. There's a tractor overturned in Ayrshire, so I can't get to. And then he'll get a picture from Google, and he'll send that into the group chat and say, yeah, look, here's a picture of it, or like a snow blizzard or something. Have you come across any of this with Grado?
Oh, I mean, that's classic Grado. See, I thought you were going to say he's like, he's so lazy about it. I'm impressed that he would take Google an image, because I would more expect like, oh, I can't, I'm sorry, I'm stuck at home. You know, my family member is down and I need to take care of them. On the mend, yeah, if you will. And then 2 minutes later, there's an Instagram story of him at a, like a foam party. Like, he doesn't even care. It's not even – it's his rules. I think that's his love for Jeff Jarrett. What is it? Like, it's my way or whatever?
My world.
That's it's my point. World. It's Grado's world. It's Grado's world.
It is indeed. Wait, I mean, going back to the first time you two met, I mean, I always remember that was when Grado was doing his YouTube stuff, and it was, you know, he had the shot against you. How much of that was at work, you know, like when you arrived at Edinburgh Airport and there's Grado – with the car, you come off the flight, he's, you know, singing the song, he's got the sign up for you. How much of that was at work and how much of that was shoot?
Copacabana.
It's yourself.
Copacabana.
It's yourself.
I always love when he's walking to the airport and he just looks back at the camera and goes, Copacabana. yeah, it was all a shoot, was it not, Grado?
You basically emailed me at four. Maybe was it? No, it would have been earlier than that. You were definitely in. I don't know if you were flying from New York straight into Edinburgh or would have been Chicago. And you said, "Look, I need a lift from Edinburgh Airport into actual Edinburgh." And I'm like, "You did realize I'm 2 hours from Edinburgh? you're only really 10 minutes into Edinburgh town, but you, I'll pick you up."
Money and also saving, Grado,
because it's
money
me, saving. I didn't want to spend the money. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, and one condition, you let me film as soon as you get off the plane. Now, we had I don't think at that point we hadn't met, apart from when you wrestled in Kilmarnock in 2005.
Do you consider that our first formal meeting?
Well, I would, but I don't suppose you would, because you probably
when you were 12.
Aye, I was.
Aye. Yeah, I still have that kilt that you gave me.
Oh, Jesus, I remember that. That was a Lowlanders kilt. Jesus.
I don't know what that means, but I'm...
I was in a tag team called the Lowlanders years ago. My name was...
That's Grant, a great name.
The Lowlanders.
Do you know,
has anyone used it since?
Wow, no. I can't believe you're not aware of the work of Grant Dunbar.
I had to hide it. I didn't want him...
No, I remember him telling me about his old partner, actually.
Did you really?
Grant Dunbar sounds familiar.
That was my name, man. That was my name. Tell me, man, about AEW. Who's a wanker?
I think they got rid of the wankers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell you who the wankers are. You know who you would like, Grado?
Let me guess. I would like...
I'll give you two people that I think you would like a lot.
I think you texted me one of them not that long. You said I'd love them. Who was it? I can't remember.
Well, one would be, since this dead air is going nowhere of you just looking down thinking, I'll just say it.
All right, okay.
I think you would love Miro.
That was it, Miro. Mm-hmm.
I think you would love Miro, and I think you would love Luchasaurus.
Really? Really?
These are two people that would fit in the Grado universe.
Right.
Wow. Luchasaurus are really, I mean, I was heard he's got some sort of degree in, like, craft or medieval craft or something
he's
like that.
He's a very... book smart man.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say so much for the streets.
Wow.
What about Miro? What does he like? Does he like to get mad with?
I don't know. He's just a lovable Bulgarian.
Right.
And I think right. he would, I think here's what would happen is he would love the charm of Grado.
Right.
And you know, when people also, you know, when people love my charm, I love them in return. Right. Like you yeah. can't help but appreciate someone who appreciates you.
Do you like Sting?
You know, I don't know Sting that well. Me and Sting had a 2-hour conversation on a layover on a, on an airplane once. And I thought it changed both of our lives. And then 2 months later, he showed up at AEW. And I was like, it's me. Remember? He's like, and I was like, no. And I go, we sat in the airport in Minneapolis for like 2 hours and talked. He's like, and then he's like, did we talk about God? And I was like, no.
But you come on, it's funny you say that, right? Because what I remember for you coming back and forward to the UK years ago was the amount of wrestlers, British wrestlers, would go, oh man, Colt Cabana, he introduces himself to me every time at the event. We've been him, hey, what's up, Scott? Hey, what's up, Scott? Hey, I'm Scott. Hey, I'm Scott.
I don't even, Scott Snyder? I don't know who you're talking about.
So you enjoy the AEW Colt. I mean, you've been just well over a year now, isn't it?
Yeah, but Grado, I have to, sorry, John, but I don't hold it against Sting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Yes.
Technically, it's that what you said, you know, you should expect that. Like, there is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, those people in Scotland, I hope they don't hold it against me. I don't hold it against Sting.
You're kind of gutted, but it's expected. These yes. people, you know. I mean, I remember, you know, I wrestled 3 nights with Vader, and like a year later, and I was in an elevator with him, and I didn't even introduce myself. I didn't even say hello. It was just a matter of, he's never going to remember me.
Never, no. But this was a 2-hour deep convo about life, and yeah. John, AEW is going very well. It's so great. I signed a contract with them like 3 weeks before the pandemic.
Yeah.
They kept everybody employed. Not only did they kept everybody employed, they've kept up their TV. We've done TV tapings. We've done them safely. I was a bit of a stickler for the COVID, and still am. And so, it's been, I can't complain. And I mean, Grado would be having a field day just walking backstage. Oh, there's Gold Dust. Oh, there's Dean Malenko.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, surely, you know, a new member of the Dark Order, the reformation of Iron Jew on AEW, you know, I know there's backstage creative, you know, the creative process, it seems, is, you know, it's like you guys are doing the creative backstage. Come on, Colt. You know, this is the opportunity.
This is the second time in this podcast that we've tried to get Grado a job.
Listen, it happens every week. I get so embarrassed, man. If it's
first it's to sing the song. Next, it's, I mean, if you knew how to sew, he'd be asking for Sandra's job right now. Unbelievable.
I know.
All right, I'll put in a word.
Right.
I mean, when we tour the UK, it's only, well, I mean, I really don't have that much of a say. I mean, I'll put in something what I can, you know. But
who's doing the creative then, Cole? Is it like Cody and Jericho? Are they doing the creative? Kenny, all that? Or is everybody kind of chipping in?
Fuck, they've all failed it.
What did he say?
I says, I've all fell out.
Octavon fell it.
I've all fell out.
But I fell it. Somebody in Philly?
They've all fell out.
A buffet fillet, yes. No, I mean, it's Tony Khan. You know, it's Tony Khan's business. It's Tony Khan's thing. And, you know, I don't want to speak for anybody else. I'm not necessarily... You know, I'm in some conversations, but I'm in what I'm in. So I think a lot of the EVPs and people with power, they have a lot of power over what they want to do and what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, it's Tony Khan's, it's his product. His name's on the thing. You know, it's kind of his, you know, again, for the most part, in my belief, but I, I don't know. You know, I'm not necessarily in those email chains and text chains.
You're not in the WhatsApp group for, you know, what's happening creatively.
I'm
then,
not.
You know?
I am not.
Oh. Wait, so
I wish.
See, before
I wish, I would throw in more Colt Cabana and Grado ideas, right?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Heisbads.com. God, I miss it so much, man. I'm just looking at you. I miss you so much. But do you know what? It's like, see, this Wrestling Anonymous idea. What a great idea. Because see right now, right? See, wrestling, I find it hard to watch, Cabana, right? Do you know how I get my wrestling fix? Is the likes of, there was a tweet the other day about the most embarrassing thing that has happened at an independent wrestling show. And reading their stories, they were hilarious. And it's the same with the botches, the botch accounts and botchamania and stuff like that. I love all that shit. So that is right up my street, this anonymous stuff.
So, great. Like, the very first episode, I say, and I was saying the same thing. It's like, well, I don't, you know, the pandemic and quarantine is like really giving me an opportunity to look back and be like, why do I like wrestling? Because some of the stuff on TV, you know, I'm not going to, obviously I love AEW, but some of the other stuff is just like, why am I not drawn to want to watch everything every week? I have no interest really.
Yeah.
And so I go back and I reflect and I say, for me, it's nostalgia. There's three things. I say nostalgia, I say performance. And then the third one, which came up on me, is community, is the community. So for me and, you know, for me and you, it's the nostalgia of our childhood. It's remembering, you know, for me, it's WWF 80s stuff or my teenage years, maybe the Attitude Era. And then performance. I love performing. I love wrestling. Like, that's why I love wrestling, is going and doing the shows. And so, you know, it was hard during the pandemic and it was hard. You know, I was able to do it a little bit in AEW, but it was in front of nobody. So that kind of sucked. And then the last one was community. And it is like this, like, it's the idea of, when I think of community, I think of ICW shows and just like a packed crowd in that garage, you know, or in Edinburgh, or I think of the Edinburgh Fringe. And I think of all the wrestling fans and how we all just kind of come together. And some of us, it's not even like, some of us, it's not even like because we watch 205 Live every week or whatever. It's like, we just, there's something in us that we all have that handshake and that wink, and we all love wrestling. And, you know, some of us love wrestling for our childhood and some of us love it different eras, but if we love it in any way, you know, we all like agree upon this thing and we're different than other people just in the world. Like, they don't understand us. So I'm with you. And then this is another way, is the Wrestling Anonymous, is to kind of call in and like tell us those ways that, not those ways, because I don't want to hear just the ways that you love it, but you know, we've all done stuff or been around stuff or been affected by stuff in such weird occasions that sometimes we need an outlet. And when I was doing Art of Wrestling, fans would ask me to be on the show all the time, and it was like, that's not this is, you know, Art of Wrestling is for the wrestlers, but this now is for the fans. And now, if you've never had an opportunity to get this out in public, I always say that, like, you've probably got a friend who has told you this wrestling story a million times and it was hilarious the first time, but it's like, this is the 20th time. I don't want to hear this story anymore.
Grado does it all the time, Cole. Yeah. On this podcast all the time.
Repeat RK. And then when I tell the story the second time, it's fucking completely different to the first one. But anyway, you're bang on, Cabana, because this, just to kind of go off on a side, but the best thing about this podcast is the feedback, is the what the fans write into this podcast, what they write in, they tell us experience. Oh, guess what? I saw on TV this week, this wrestler was in an advert, or I saw this guy wearing a wrestling t-shirt. And that's the goal. That's the comedy. It's funny. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't necessarily enjoy, like, you know, I was thinking about like, what podcast can I do? I was like, I don't want to talk about this week in wrestling, and I don't want the pressure to have to like, I don't want homework.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't want homework to watch wrestling.
I know. I hate when they watch Raw, but see, when I just Alexa Bliss, I couldn't even tell you what she looks like. You know,
right?
I mean?
But and some people do want to watch it every week, and some people do love it, and that's amazing. Like, they have that right to do it. But for some of us, the jaded fans like us, who are in the biz and now we're jaded or lapsed or, you know, or whatever it is, but we still love wrestling. Like, we know we love wrestling. But, you know, maybe this incarnation, we don't love it.
Yeah, just on that, Cole, you sort of touched on it when you were talking about it there. Do you think, you know, when you've got all these products now, NXT, UK, NXT, you say 205 Live and things like that, do you think there's a bit of the fun that's been sucked out of wrestling? I mean, obviously, you and Grado, you know, you're all about the fun. You're all about making people smile. Do you think there's a lack of that in the kind of current product now?
Jesus, we get it. You want Grado to have a job. That's the third time today.
It's every fucking week, man.
I get it from a content creating aspect. Like, you want to throw as much stuff out there as you can to try to monetize off of whatever you can. So that I get. Like, I don't disagree with the model of, I guess, putting out as many shows, but again, I think it goes back to nostalgia, and we think about when we were kids, and like when we were kids, when I was a kid, it was 4 pay-per-views a year, and like that seemed to work. So it's hard to think of like 12 or 17 pay-per-views a year, whatever it is. And, you know, a kid now in 20 years is going to be like, wrestling sucks. I loved it when it was just wrestling on the network and Peacock and YouTube. And, you know, now, you know, in 20 years, it's going to be whatever. It's going to be so much. It's going to be multiplied by another 100.
Yeah.
Do you need to boost now? That's 7. Do you need to boost?
No, I pushed it till 7, half 7.
That's good. Because I just wanted to say, like, it's funny, right? Because I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I remember when I was flying back and forward to America, right? And then AIW and TNA and stuff like that, and wrestling in Chicago. I remember that it came a point, but I was sitting, I think I actually had a conversation with you at one point, and it was at the Comic Cons, and I was like, fuck, I feel quite desensitized to this now. You know, there's a boogeyman just walking by. You know what I mean? There's fucking D'Lo Brown. And, it never fazed me, and it annoyed me that it became, like, it meant nothing to me. But now that the fact that I've no wrestled in over a year, like, I'm now buying New Jack T-shirts, self-wrestletees.com. I'm looking up replica belts. You know, because it's been that long since I've been involved.
Yeah, I think it was important that I always took I always take steps back. So when you say that, like, I always made a sure to keep myself in check to be like, wow, this is so cool. All of these guys that I watched as a child are at this convention and are across from me and are my friends, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was never necessarily a collector because of the money thing, obviously. So I'm not going to go buy a $100 New Jack T-shirt. I want to, believe me, I want it all. You know, did I ask the Iron Sheik's manager for this free poster signed by him? Yes, of course. And he sent it to me for free. The Megan twins. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But I do, you know, and I was doing a podcast called We Watch Wrestling with Vince and Matt, which are two funny comedians in America. And I remember Matt said to me, he's like, from an outsider's perspective, he's a stand-up and he writes on a bunch of shows. And he was a WWE writer at one time, but he was like, from an outsider's perspective, Colt, like, you've always been able to be in the business and be very successful in the business, but you've always been able to keep that fandom of whatever it is. And I appreciate that. And so, there is an aspect of my fandom, and I think this podcast does show it, is that, like, not only do I want these fans to reach out, but I also appreciate these calls, and I'm the curator. So, like, I'm picking the ones that are going to be on the show. So, you know, it's almost like to pop me. And so, like, to hear these stories and to think, like, ah, man, that's awesome. And why that's awesome. I think it shows my fan side, but also can give everybody a different aspect of it, because based off of these stories, there's different stories I could tell. Like, there was somebody on this week's episode who threw a streamer and their wedding ring fell off and flew underneath the ring. Right. Which is a great story, which is a great story in itself. But then as a wrestler, I'm able to tell you that there's a ring crew that has to now wait till the show is done. And the ring crew they're the last ones that get done, and they have to wait there till 1 a.m. when the show gets done. And then they have to put an extra half hour of work, and then they have to drive another 3 hours home, while the person in the opening match can go home at 8:00. This ring crew person has to go home at 3:00, and that's their job. And some people don't see that part of it. So I think that's the fun of that. But yes, back, I guess the original question was, I love being a wrestling fan.
Yeah, do you pop
for the stuff that I'm a fan of?
Yeah, well, do you pop then? Obviously, in AEW, you've got people like Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Sting, you said, Jake the Snake. Are you just a bit in awe of these guys when you see them?
Yeah, I love it. And the ones that are approachable, some of them aren't that approachable,
right?
But the ones that I have a good rapport with, I can always ask questions. Like, after some of the Beyond the Mat, the Dark Side of the Ring, like I'll go ask Jake a question, or you know, he's open. Right. He'll answer anything. Right. So I'll ask questions, like kind of fan questions to Jake or Tully. You know, these guys are great. They're happy to talk about anything. And I think they like being talked to. And I can only imagine, I imagine if I'm, you know, when I get to that age, it's hard to like strike up a buddy buddy conversation with the quote unquote the boys or you know the girls. So I think it's cool when the younger generation like you know tries to befriend them and they feel part they feel a part of the locker room the same way that they were. What you know, they Tully Blanchard was the king of the locker room in NWA with the Horsemen, you know. So it's gotta be a weird feeling to kind of be on the outskirts. So I do my best to try to keep them involved.
But you must have that the other way around, Colt, because I mean I don't want to say a vet now, but you must have younger wrestlers in the, you know, like Gregor says, when you come over to the UK or any AEW as well, coming up to you and picking your brains, and you're almost at that level as well.
Yeah, I'm a coach and a producer for AEW also. So, so yes, so I help you know some of the AEW Dark and Elevation matches for the younger talent, and I'll help them and I'll help put some matches together and work on the matches afterwards and critique. So it's part of my job title. And then yeah, it's a fun part. It's a fun place to be because I'm this guy who's been doing it very successful at 22 years on a level, on an independent level, where I helped, you know, was part of the scene that became into AEW. So I have that experience, so I can help the youngers. But then, you know, also there's people like whatever, Dustin Rhodes or Dean Malenko, who were wrestling in arenas for 20 years, you know? So I think it's fun that they can get that. They can get the different aspect. They can go to those kind of people. And then they could also go to someone like me who's successfully done it and knows how to work the 300 people. Yeah. But that there's an art to that too, you know? And so it's a fun middle ground that I'm in. So they have a lot of different places and people they can go to.
So like, obviously this week in wrestling, well, for me, it's 2 years since Lionheart died. It's now, is it 4 years since Biggins died? Now, I don't know if I've ever spoken about Biggins on this podcast, John.
Well, you haven't, no.
He was the AIW promoter. He was the first guy to bring me to America.
He loved Grado so much.
He was the first guy to bring me to America. Don't get me wrong, I probably, you know, affected his health by freaking him out. By, you know, he booked a whole weekend. It was called Grado Does America, AIW. It was like Friday, Saturday and Sunday. All just revolved around me, wasn't it, Colt?
Wow.
I was to wrestle Tracy Smothers on the Friday night, maybe you on the Saturday, then we'd do a team on the Sunday. But boot camp came and JB pulled me for the show. So he had booked this fucking whole weekender and had to cancel it. And I thought that he would never contact me ever again, but then he did bring me back. And I swear to God, this guy was the sweetest, loveliest, gentlest giant ever, man. He was the absolute best. And Cabana, you loved him as well, right?
Of course. He loved wrestling. He loved like the inner shit talking of wrestling too, which I think is one of the most fun parts of being in a wrestling locker room, I think.
Oh, 100%. Like we would always like exchange. Remember Voxer? Remember we used to talk on Voxer? Do you still have Voxer?
I still do for some people, yeah.
You know, who do you speak to in Voxer?
My mom and Kevin Owens.
But I just wanted to, because I ended up forgetting today a wee tweet thing about Biggins and Lionheart, which I'm going to take the time to talk about in this podcast, but Biggins was the fucking best, man. I just want to say
Biggins, podcast. Lionheart, Travis, you know, I liked coming over and seeing Travis, and then obviously for me, Brody was such a hard one. So hard, and it's so weird, like I get weird feelings like going on YouTube and looking up his clips and just watching him and then seeing that he's not there, like how is he not right, like one of us, just how is he not in the locker room and he's just gone like forever. It's still something very hard to process, and I'm still trying to process it and understand it. And right. I feel for Amanda, his wife, and I don't think a lot of people give us shit, but you know, negative one, his son, little Brody.
I love that.
Been amazing.
Amazing, right? And I think there are some people like, how could you do this? It's just like, how could we not?
Yeah, absolutely.
How could we not?
I love the video as well, Cole. I don't know if you were there, but Eddie Kingston rounding up the dressing room and sort of making that spit that saw. I don't know if you were there for it. I thought it was absolutely incredible.
It was a little cringe. It was Eddie's first week there, but
I said the Kingston to the back. That, you know, that is Eddie Kingston on the back. He's the kind of guy that would walk in anywhere and he'd done it with TNA. He wasn't even
first day.
TNA
first day on the job, he's doing locker room speeches. But bless him, right on, bless him.
I love that shit. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that'll do then. That'll do it. That was good fun. I'll definitely listen to your podcast and I'll give you a bell.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a long time coming.
And I'll get the pugs out. I'm assuming we can get this an all good podcast outlets, Colt. We can just Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Yeah.
Wherever you get it, just search Wrestling Anonymous and subscribe. And then if you want to say hi to me on Twitter and Instagram, that's at Colt Cabana. And I am on twitch.tv/Colt Cabana. And there's a bunch of UK fun friends that are in there. I'm playing wrestling stuff. I'm playing video games. I'm just an all around goofball. And I love, I could see Grado was popping for me doing my plugs. And
I'm just thinking how
my mind works.
The years. No, just like, because I'm again, like you text me, like, Colt wrestling at gmail.com, a very public email.
you know, and if you need to get a hold of me, it's coltwrestling@gmail.com. It's my very public email. And, check out coltcabana.com.
That's brilliant, man.
Fantastic. Right. Colt, thanks so much for coming on Wrestling Daft.
Mate,
thank
take
you,
care,
friends.
Right? I'll see you in about 40 years ago.
Thank you, Dafties.
See you later, Dafty. You just made the list!
Now, you can't spell listen without list, and we want your ears now as we talk lists on the list of wrestling daft. Now, this is great what John wrote here. You can't spell listen without list, and we want your ears now as we talk lists on the list of wrestling daft. Which is great, one of his best ones, except for the fact that when I'm reading it off the page here, it doesn't say Wrestling Daft, it says Wrestling Daffy, it says.
John, you want to just chill out, mate?
John, you want to take a chill pill, mate? Calm your jets.
I type quite fast, and I don't double check it, like,
Do you haunt George Bowie? All these words that are get spelling mistakes in there?
Oh, no, George, I double check when I'm doing it for George. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm sure you
do. Because he'd slap you a boot.
I sometimes.
Now, you can vote for what you want us to talk about, punters, by joining us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week, it was all about title runs and shading it in the battle between best title runs and worst title runs. Oh. It was worst title runs.
These lists are shite.
Why is it right, shite,
okay,
Grado?
Okay, right, you, Grado, you give me the topics for next week. Give me
two
topics for next week. We'll do this just now, but you give me the topics for next week. Let's go.
Okay. Either it's between what's the best celebrity to come into wrestling and do something that wasn't a shite?
Right, okay, yeah.
What's the best celebrity coming into something that wasn't a shite? Or what's your favourite TNA pay-per-view?
Right, that's the...
Okay.
Right, fantastic. Thanks.
That's better than the best title runs. The best title... What is a good title run? I don't get it. What is a good title run?
What is a good... A good title run is one where it's like, I would say, well, there's been great matches... Where there's been,
money.
I would say Roman Reigns' current title run is one of the best we've had in years.
Not to go Al Snowy here, but surely the best title run is something like, you know, The Rock in 2000, where they were drawing so much money, or Steve Austin 99, and the worst is like Diesel. Is that not? I mean, technically, that is what's the best and the worst. No?
Yeah, potentially.
Listen, just fucking go on with it, man.
Right, okay. Well, here's my top three, right? Number three, I'm going to say The Fiend, because The Fiend is a recent title run, and it was a completely hopeless one. It was a guy that should never have had the belt on him anyway. He should never have had the belt on him in the first place. And I think in terms of title changes, which I believe The Fiend, maybe this is my number one, actually, and I'll tell you why. I might be putting it up to my number one now. I'm getting so angry thinking about it. Am I right in saying that The Fiend lost that title to Goldberg?
He did.
Now, The Fiend, and obviously I'm just an outsider looking in. I'm not a professional wrestler. but it looked to me like the Fiend was in a huff in that match. It looked like he was totally sandbagging Goldberg. It was an ugly sight, him losing. He shouldn't have dropped it in that way anyway, so he maybe had a reason to be in a huff and all. But that was a real bad one. So that's maybe my number. Number three, number two. Anyway, I remember when I was a wee guy and I was watching the wrestling and Bob Backlund won the world title.
Well, that's interesting.
And I was like, who the fuck is this old guy? You know what I mean? And I think he only had the title for like, I don't know, like fucking like a month or something. I don't know. It was short, right? It wasn't long he had it, but I remember when he won it, I was like, it was almost like right away, I was like, and by the way, I'm saying, who the fuck is this old guy? He was probably only about fucking 35.
Ah, you're right.
I don't know what age he was, but he probably wasn't even that old. But I just remember when I was a wee guy, I was like, I don't want to watch this guy being the champion. You know, it was one of the ones, it was like, I don't want him to be the champion.
He was like a school teacher, wasn't he? Like,
he was just hopeless. And then he did drop it again anyway, you know that. But I think my number one is definitely going to be Chris Jericho when he was the champ, run about the time he was running about after Stephanie McMahon. Do you remember this?
Who's this?
Jericho. WWE. It wasn't a problem with his matches or anything like that. The problem was the way his character was presented at the time, it was like he was the champ, but he was treated like an absolute joke.
Was that when he won the Undisputed title?
Aye.
I have no memory of that run all the way up to 2018.
And that guy, you know, if somebody had said 5 years earlier, Chris Jericho is going to be like the Undisputed champion in WWE, you would you'd be thinking to yourself, oh man, the promos and the fucking all this, it's going to be dynamite, you know what I mean? And it was pathetic. He was running errands for Stephanie McMahon. It was just the worst. It was a terrible run. It's like completely the opposite of how you should book a champion. John mentioned Roman Reigns. I mean, compare these title reigns. Compare that Jericho run. You know, where he was getting the fucking legs cut off him. You know what I mean? There was a guy who, if they just went, there's the big belt. If there's any guy in professional wrestling history who was going to make entertaining telly out of being the undisputed world champion, it was going to be Chris Jericho. And yet he never get the chance to do all that. You know what I mean? He never get the chance to be the big-headed, cocky, fucking unbeatable, undisputed champion. They should have done that. So that's my number one. Let's see what the punters have got to say. Dan says Jack Swagger with the World Heavyweight Championship. My God, I completely forgot that even happened. Dean Ambrose with the US title that he had for like a year and defended maybe five or six times. Vince's ECW title win with the do-rag. Can you remember that, Greg?
I do remember that, aye.
I think that's quite funny, though. Do you know?
I like wee things like that. Because I know that somebody's going to end up saying our kit, but things like that, I'll need to go back and watch that, man.
Total falafel says surely numero uno has to be David Arquette. So much so he's been apologising and nearly killing himself in the ring ever since to make up for it. I don't think that's not even in the hunt for worst title reigns, because a worst title reign is like, it's got to be a proper wrestler. It can't be just some like kind of daft, you know what I mean? Nice to Wrestler says Kane's one day effort in 98 and anyone or anything to do with the 24/7 title. Oh, it's terrible.
No, although, it was only a day, but could you imagine if Undertaker and Mankind didn't happen that night? See what you think about something.
Aye. Jim says Khali's was bad, Jinder's was bad, Drew's was pretty bad, but I'll blame that on him being champ during the Thunderdome area when Raw became unwatchable. I don't think his run was bad. Ian says worst title run, Jinder Mahal. Only highlight his reign was a great Khali taking the title for him and raising it above his head like he was champ. and also AJ Styles beating him. Sandy says, worst title run for me is Dean Ambrose's WWE title reign in 2016. One of the most amazing cash-ins where all three members of the Shield held the title. Probably the most memorable moment was dropping the title to AJ. At least he made up for it with his AEW run. Chris says, Ray's run, it didn't even last a night. Sean says, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, was only used as a transitional champion the first time and then the second time he didn't actually need it. Exactly. John says, Big Show ECW, Cody Rhodes TNT, and Mick Foley TNA.
Who's hanging that?
That guy, this Grado will not say a word against TNA. You're TNA loyal, you're a TNA company, man.
You know what, I've got a lot of love for that company.
Rosh says the worst title reign was this. the Triple H reign of terror between 2002 and 2003. First, he was just handed the title by Eric Bischoff, Easy. Then he has that feud with Kane involving Katie Vick, the single worst storyline in WWE history. Not true. Then he had a terrible set of matches with Scott Steiner. Then at WrestleMania, instead of dropping the title to Booker T, he retains it by pinning him a whole 20 seconds after delivering the pedigree. And all throughout, he opened Raw every Monday with 20-minute boring-ass promos.
God, to be honest with you, I didn't like that as a wee guy.
Me and Ian Connell, right, talk all the time. You wouldn't believe how often we talk about that period of Raw where Triple H would come out at the start and talk for 20 minutes. Right? And me and Ian Connell regularly do this to each other, right? We'll say, let's say we're writing a script or something, doing a scene, and one of us says, this scene is too long, right? The other one will go, this scene will be over when I say it is over.
You're good.
This scene will be finished when I say that it's finished. This scene will be done when I say that it's done. This scene will be complete when I say it's complete. That was what Triple H used to do. He used to do that every week. He would come out, get a start of Raw, and talk slowly and wind the fans up. I personally think it was maybe great.
See, that's, by the way, great impersonation, but what I hated about it was he had no facial hair and it really annoyed me.
Oh, aye, aye.
And he was always wearing suits and all that, and he always kind of, his hair was dead dry and all that. It really annoyed me.
Was this also the period where he did the kind of comparing the muscles with Scott Steiner?
No, but do you know what the biggest memory I take back for Scott Steiner and Triple H is? Our match at the Rumble and Scott Steiner's fucking purple thong. Do you remember that? No. His ass kept coming out his trousers, Scott Steiner, out his tights, and he had that big fucking frilly purple thong. Do you not remember that?
I don't.
His fucking big thong. Honestly, Troops, go back and watch that match. I'm going to try and get a picture of his face.
That's put it in the picture. Do the research.
But his fucking thong is hanging out his ass at the Rumble.
Do you not think Scott Steiner had the best wrestling nicknames of all time?
Big Papa Pump's the best nickname.
Big Papa Pump. The Genetic Freak. Mm-hmm. Freakzilla.
Ah, Freakzilla, that's a good one.
The Big Bad Booty Daddy.
The Big Bad Booty Daddy. Oh, that'll do.
Yeah, here's Gregor. Talk about title runs, right? What did you make your ICW title run? I mean, you obviously had that moment with Drew, but what, like that title run, was that about a month and a half, 2 months you held the title?
Actually, November the 15th to the middle of January, so about 2 months. Yeah. Defended it once against Adrian in Edinburgh. I wanted to take it to America because I obviously had my wee tour, the Wrestling Road Diaries tour with Cabana. I should have took the title with me then.
Did they book you right after you won that title, Grado?
I don't know, did they? Fuck knows.
Oh, listen, Alec, he's no getting involved. How do you feel about how you were booked during that period?
I didn't need to be the champion. I didn't like being the champion. It's too a lot of wrestlers at ICW at that time were taking that shit dead serious, which is fair play. I mean, to Renfrew is his life. You know what I mean? It honestly was his life, which is fair enough. You know what I mean? That's the kind of whereas I didn't need to have it. I didn't need to have it.
It was the journey for Grado, wasn't it? It was about winning it.
So, to be honest with you, they were bang on with it. If I'm being honest, because, I mean, although I hated that stuff with Renfrew and it got too serious and with promos, but then I done a good promo and Mick Foley put it over on his Facebook, and then I done what I think was my favourite entrance, and probably one of my best matches was with Renfrew at that show. I fucking loved that match, but it was a fucking... I still get anxiety when I think about it, because it was just a lot of jealousy and a lot of fucking shenanigans, me being put on front pages of magazines as TNA's Grado and stuff like that. And a lot of folk took it the wrong way. A lot of folk took that far too serious and tried to make it too real and shooting on me and all that shit. I can't be fucked with that. Fucking get a grip.
Yeah, I love all this. See, this is the kind of part. This is what I'm here for.
I was just a guy that was having fun, getting booked all across the world. And any cunt that says they wouldn't do the same is talking out their farter.
When was the last time you spoke to Chris Renfrew?
Years ago, man. Years ago.
Well, he's here tonight. Introducing. It's time now for the part of the show that is always a danger that leads to the death of their careers. It's another Wrestling Daft Road story. Now, for clarity's sake, the idea of this is that we pretend to be wrestlers on the back, on the way back for a show in our car, and we're telling each other stories as wrestlers do on the road. But these stories that we tell aren't our stories. They're stories that you send in. They're not our stories. If anybody for the Sun is listening. So let's get the car started. Let's get going.
You alright?
Hey man, what a night, yeah.
I was great.
What a night. I tell you, see, during that match though, my fucking thong kept coming out my trousers all the time.
I can't believe we had to go longer because the fake Rock never turned up for the main event. Anyway, I'll tell you about one night 12 years ago. What happened to me?
Ah, you're not telling me. No.
Right, well. So, me and my bald, right, we decided to get a wee drink, right? Mm-hmm. She pulled out a camera and started taking selfies. So, one thing left to another, and then next minute I woke up and I'm in a scud.
Oh dear.
So, over the next few weeks, we're sitting in mine and our mom phones are raging out her tits, telling her to get him ASAP. So, I gets up, gets ready, Beefy's head on the way up, and I'm like that to my girlfriend. I don't know why your ma's being like this. Fuck's sake, you're not away anymore. She actually does my nothing when she does all this shit. I'm going to end up saying something to her. Next minute, she gets a text from her ma. Tell your man to come in, I need to talk to him. I was like, what? Shite myself. So we get in there, and I walk slowly and kind of ducking in case I'm lamped with something. She's standing in the kitchen holding the camera with the memory card sitting on the worktop, and she sticks the card in the Nintendo Wii and says,
in the Wii?
And she says, can't I explain this? And it's just full of nudes that we cannot remember taking at all. I just looked at her and said, that wasn't me. Let me tell you, she's got some swing. I bolted out the door and stayed away for a good while. Never again. And that comes from
my boss are Richie on Twitter.
My boss are Richie on Twitter. So there you go, folks. Always remember when you're getting intoxicated, don't take your clothes off and put it on your cameras. Don't take photos.
Delete the photos. Delete the photos. Or there's secure apps you can get called things like Photo Vault and stuff like that, or you can put the photos that you've taken into the vault and put a key code on it so nobody can ever get it.
How the fuck do you know that?
And make sure it isn't saving to the cloud. Like, if you have a family account and it saves to a cloud, just make sure of that.
Yes. Steve Jobs has got a lot to fucking answer for. I've heard a lot of my pals taking a photo of something that they probably shouldn't have, and it's flagged up in their missus' iPad while she's working in her shop. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Has that actually happened?
Oh, aye, man. Mate, I've heard loads of things, you know. Mummy, daddy's, look what daddy's texting to another woman. Obviously using the phone, and then it's the iPad and stuff like that. I've heard of that before.
My goodness. You wrestlers are just outrageous, don't you?
My failure.
What?
I'm getting annoyed.
My failure. That's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review and subscribe on Apple. Don't just rate us 5 stars. Get us wherever you get your podcasts. I personally like to use apps that do podcast apps. Have you heard of them? You can download them on your iPhones. Mind for more content, there's loads this week, plus the video version of this show. Get on board patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, and why not check out our merchandise, talking about t-shirts, talking about bum bags, all that kind of stuff. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you in the next one. Grado, it's time for you, my friend, to get up the road.
Up the road, it's a sail. Up the road, it's a sail. Here we go, here we go. Cha-cha-cha, cha-cha. Audio Frontier.